And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blast-off. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
It's about 8 minutes after 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm your host, Carl Amari. This is the WGN Radio Theater. It is already Sunday morning, and I'm solo as far as co-hosts are concerned because Lisa's parakeet has a sinus infection, so she's not here. But we do have Elif Garis, our producer, and she's from Turkey. But she's no turkey when it comes to producing this show. What's up, Elif? Oh, wait a minute. Where are you?
I'm here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I have arrived.
There you are.
Hi.
How was your Thanksgiving, Elif?
It was great.
Yeah?
How was your Thanksgiving? How was the show?
Do you have turkey even though you're from Turkey? Is that sort of cannibalism at all or no?
It is frowned upon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So I only eat stuffing, green beans.
Right. Avoid the turkey because that would be too much turkey. Correct?
Where's your rim shot?
Oh, wait. No, I didn't. I wasn't ready for it.
Does that deserve a rim shot?
Probably not.
No.
What's up, Roger? So, yeah. How are you? How was your turkey day?
It was spent here, basically.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So
I've got leftovers sitting for me at home.
Ah.
The family
really?
Brought some back from where
Very
they went
nice.
To. And,
Very nice.
And then Patty Vasquez brought some of her leftovers.
Wow, that was very nice of her.
Yeah.
Wow, delicious. Yeah. Anyone bring you a turkey leg? Because
I don't do turkey leg.
No, you're not.
No,
doing.
I like the chicken or the turkey breasts and,
yeah.
and wings.
Uh-huh.
I like the wings.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that's I don't do the turkey legs. My mother used to do turkey legs, and our son does turkey legs.
Really?
Yeah.
You're the wind beneath my wings, Roger.
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, enough of that. We have a shortened show because of Hawks. And they lost, I heard. A little birdie told me that they lost. So we only have 1 hour of the WGN Radio Theater. This is program 134 in the series. And we're going to listen to Gunsmoke with William Conrad from 1952. That's our radio show. We also have a celebrity scoop segment right now.
Dum, da-dum, 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 da-dum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
Elif, what will the listeners win if they can identify who this mystery man is?
They will win, again, a certificate for a desktop sports-themed artificial Christmas tree of their choice with white micro lights from Treetime Christmas Creations on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington.
Pepper Road.
Or treetime.com.
Very nice. Oh, that's a nice gift. All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. All you have to do is identify this mystery man from I Love You, Man.
Muscle Beach, half an hour. I will see you there, or I will see you on another time.
All right.
That's very confusing. I don't know if you're going to come or not.
No, I'll be there. I'll be there.
All right, I'll see you then.
Bye. All right. Latest on the men, Jay.
Latest on the men, Jay. 312-981-7200. Who is that mystery man? I think he's a terrific actor. Give us a call, and we'll find our winner after this break. All right, let's play that movie clip again.
Muscle Beach, half an hour. I will see you there, or I will see you on another time.
That is very confusing. I don't know if you're going to come or not.
No, I'll be there. I'll be there.
All right, I'll see you then. Bye.
All right. Latest on the men, Jay.
All right, we had a caller offline. His name was Bo from Schaumburg. Bo knew that was Paul Rudd, and he played... What was it, the Ant-Man, or was it? What was that movie that he was in? I didn't see it.
This is from...
this is from I Love You, Man.
Yeah.
But didn't he play the superhero? Roger would know this. Didn't Paul Rudd play a superhero, the Ant-Man?
Hold on, I got to put my ears in.
All right.
Go ahead.
I'll look it up in the meantime.
Did Paul Rudd play like the Ant-Man or something?
Yes.
Superhero?
Yep.
He did?
Yep.
All right.
I just watched it the other night again for the 10,000th time.
It was good?
I
haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it yet?
No, I haven't seen it. It's really good. Roger knows everything. He's like my go-to guy when I'm not sure about something.
Not real go-to.
Yeah, no, you really are.
Well, just with a tinge of caution. Just in case.
You're generally right. So there we go. Hey, do you like Gunsmoke?
I love Gunsmoke.
And Elif, do you like Gunsmoke?
I love Gunsmoke.
All right. Well, we have a great adult Western here created by Norman McDonald and John Meston. Came to radio 1952, ran through 1961. Now, it was stories in and around Dodge City, Kansas in the mid to late 1800s were dramatized. And Marshal Matt Dillon was the key figure. He was played by William Conrad. Parley Bear was Deputy Chester Proudfoot. Howard McNair was Doc Adams. And George Ellis was Kitty Russell. Dillon was a lonely, isolated man, toughened by a hard life, sort of like me. It was adapted for television in 1955, ran all the way till 1974 with an entirely new cast on TV. James Arness played Dillon on television. It was ranked number one on TV from 1957 through 1961, but we have a radio episode for you now. This is called Kane, and it's from October 3rd, 1952. Here's William Conrad in part one of Gunsmoke.
Dodge City and in the territory on west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun Smoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Chester, do you have to do that? You're just stirring up a lot of dust.
Well, cleanliness is next to godliness, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, I know, Chester, but all you're doing is getting it off the floor into the air. Man can hardly breathe in here.
All right, Mr. Dillon. I'll do my sweeping later.
Yeah, good.
My mother taught me that, Mr. Dillon.
Taught you what, Chester?
That cleanliness is next to godliness. She was a fine woman, too.
Oh, look, Chester, it's a good saying, and it's probably true, and I got nothing against your mother except that she also should have taught you how to sweep.
Well, maybe she just didn't have the time, Mr. Dillon. You see, there was an awful lot of us, and what with chores and...
Oh, hello, Doc.
Come on, I'll buy you a drink.
What?
Doc said he'd buy you a drink, Mr. Dillon.
He really said that?
You coming?
Doc, you got to quit throwing your money around the way you do.
Maybe you don't need a drink.
No, wait a minute, Doc. I'm with you. I'll tell you all about it when I get back, Chester.
I'd be mighty interested, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, sure be glad when it gets winter again.
Why, Doc? You'll just complain about the cold, then.
I suppose. You go sit with Kitty, Matt. I'll bring a bottle of Irish.
Okay, Doc. Hello, Kitty.
Hello, Matt. What are you and Doc up to?
Yeah, he wants someone to talk to, so he picked me. And you.
Fine. I'm a good listener. There's lots of practice.
master. You like Jameson's, don't you, Kitty?
Sure, Doc. What are we celebrating?
Let's see here. Let's see here. We'll drink to a fella that you don't know.
Huh?
Cain Vestal.
Well, here's to him.
Yeah?
Here's to him. Yes, he'll be dead in a couple of months.
What?
That's what I told him.
What do you mean, Doc?
Well, I'm not the only one who's told him that. I'm just the last.
Well, who is this Cain Vestal, Doc?
Oh, it's just a fella. Came in on the train last night, leaving for Arizona tomorrow.
Huh?
That's where he's going to die, in Arizona. He's a musician. He plays the guitar, he tells me.
Well, how's he going to die?
Consumption. He's got it bad. I'm the last doctor he's going to ask about it, he says.
Poor fella.
Yes, climate out there, keep him going for a little while longer. I don't know. He's such a sad man for some reason.
Well, who wouldn't be, Doc?
No, Kitty. I think Kane's been sad for a long, long time. He's a very nice fellow, too.
Nothing can help him, huh?
No, nothing.
You know, it's a funny thing, Doc. I'm just sitting here thinking. Sometimes you have to tell men they're going to die. Sometimes I have to.
Yeah, that's right, man. Oh, let's see. There he is. See that fellow with the car there? He just came in.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he knows anyone around here. You mind if I ask him over?
Sure. You'd party, Doc.
Oh, good. Kane? Over here? Yeah. sit down. Sit down. Kane, this is Kitty.
Hello, Kane.
Kitty.
This is Marshal Dillon.
Hello, Marshal.
Pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you. There we are. Have a drink.
Oh, thank you, Doc.
Is your first trip west, Kane?
Yes, Marshal, it is.
Oh, well, where are you from?
No place in particular, Miss Kitty. I seem to spend most of my life on the Mississippi River.
I thought you were a musician.
I am. I was hired to ride the river boats and play my guitar for the passengers.
Oh.
Well, at least you've had a constant change of scenery.
Yeah.
After 20 years of going up and down that river, it got pretty familiar, Marshal.
Well, Kane, I knew a young fellow back in St. Louis before the war, and he was learning to be a river pilot. Say, I wonder if you ever ran into him. Name of Clemens, Sam Clemens?
No, Doc, I don't believe I did.
Oh, he was a very amusing fella. He was just chock full of stories.
You leaving Dodge tomorrow, Kane?
I'm headed for Arizona, Miss Kitty. No reflection on Dodge, though.
If you hit a place out there called Tombstone, I wish you'd look up Virgil Earp for me. Tell him I sent you, huh?
Thanks, Marshal. I'll do that.
Say, Kane, I wonder, could I ask you a favor?
Why, certainly, Miss Kitty. Anything at all.
Well, would you play something for us?
I had an idea that's what it'd be. Anything in particular?
Oh, play something you like, Kane.
Another girl I knew used to like this one.
Sure.
was... Thank you, Miss Kitty.
I wish you were going to stay here a while. Maybe you could teach me to play like that, huh?
It'd be a pleasure, Miss Kitty. But I'm afraid I won't be around for long.
Morning, Mr. Dillon.
It's noon, Chester.
Yes, sir, I know, but you went off with Doc yesterday, so I figured I had a little time coming today.
Well, that depends on how you spent it. Now, if you've been gambling,
Now, Mr. Dillon, you know I never gamble. No, sirree. I was out helping a fellow learn to shoot a six-gun, that's all.
Now? You mean there's a man in Dodge who doesn't know how?
This fellow don't. Never had one in his hand before. He's a musician.
What?
Plays the guitar, he told me.
You mean Kane? Kane Vestal?
Yeah, sir, that's his name. Nice a fella you'd ever want to meet.
Yeah, but he was supposed to leave on the stage this morning. What's he done with a six-gun anyway?
Well, I don't know, Mr. Dillon. He just come by here early this morning and asked me if I'd teach him.
Yeah. Where'd he get the gun?
Said he'd just bought it. Anything wrong, Mr. Dillon?
No. Just doesn't add up somehow, so...
Oh, well, he won't cause any trouble. He's not the sort.
You never know, Chester.
No, sir. My Kitty looks pretty this morning. She's got a yellow parasol, Mr. Dillon.
Kitty? Oh, I think I'll go see her for a minute. I'll be right back, Chester.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
Kitty?
Hello, Matt.
Kitty, I'd like to talk to you for a minute.
Oh, sure. What is it?
I'm curious about something, Kitty. Maybe you can help me.
Maybe.
How long was Kane Vestal with you yesterday?
Kane? Oh, well, he didn't leave till evening. Why?
Well, he didn't go out on the stage this morning, and he's bought himself a six-gun. You any idea why?
A gun?
Huh?
Doesn't sound like Kane.
Anything happened yesterday, Kitty, or did he tell you anything?
Well, yeah, there was one thing, Matt. Joel Adams and a couple of his men came in.
Yeah.
Kane got pretty upset when he saw him had a bad coughing spell.
Huh?
Later, he asked a lot of questions about Adams.
Well, what'd you tell him?
Just that Adams is a big landowner around here, that nobody who isn't working for him likes him very much. That's all I know, anyway.
Yeah. They didn't talk, Adams and Kane.
No. I don't think they even know each other.
Well, anyway, he sure isn't the sort to be packing a gun.
Now, you'll just get into trouble, Matt.
Yeah. Where's he staying, did he say?
Dodge House, I think.
Yeah. Thanks, Kitty. I'll see you later.
All right, that's the first portion of Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. October 3rd, 1952, with Kane. We'll get back to it in a minute. I'm going to ask Roger a trivia question. Roger, are you there?
Okay. Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
All right. So we all know William Conrad. He starred as Marshal Matt Dillon on radio's Gunsmoke, and he was, of course, Jake and the Fat Man. He was Cannon, and he was Nero Wolfe.
True.
But there were two television shows that he narrated. One was a cartoon series. And one was a live-action series. Can you recall?
He was just the voice.
He was the narrator of both of these. Very famous. One was a very famous cartoon series, and one was a very, very famous live-action television series. Any idea?
Wait, live-action?
Yeah, like, you know, like a Jake and the Fat Man, although he was the star of that.
Oh.
So, like, one of the most famous, iconic television series of all time. I'll give you a hint.
There's... too many iconic television series of
all time.
I'll
give you a hint.
All right.
David Janssen was the star.
Oh, The Fugitive.
The Fugitive. Remember, William Conrad was the narrator.
That was his voice?
Yeah, William Conrad. And then, you know, the television series? Can you think of it? The cartoon series, I should say.
That he narrated it? The narrator.
Rocky and Bullwinkle, The Adventures of Bullwinkle. Yeah, he was the narrator.
I'll be a
William
son of
Conrad,
a
yeah. So you did good. You got 50%. One out of two. Yeah. Not bad, that's Roger. Right.
See, I was going with something like Huckleberry Hound or something like that. Mm-hmm. Rocky and Bullwinkle didn't even hit in my wheelhouse.
And Bullwinkle, And Hans Conried was Snidely Whiplash on that. Welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari, and I want to remind you folks that I've set up a website that I think you're going to love. It's at freeradioclassics.com. As a thank you for listening to the show, you can receive a free classic radio show every week, 52 weeks a year, every year. Simply log on to freeradioclassics.com. Enter your first and last name and your email address, and that's all you have to do. Every Monday, I will send you an email that contains a link to listen to and collect a free classic radio show via digital download. In 1 week, it may be Gunsmoke, the next Jack Benny, the next Suspense, and so on. Plus, every old-time radio show is digitally remastered for superb sound quality and will include a detailed historical information synopsis, cast members, a photo of the star, and much more. This is a free service to you. As a thank you for being a listener to this show, you can unsubscribe anytime you like. And if you enjoy listening to and collecting old-time radio shows in superb sound quality, sign up to freeradioclassics.com. You can do it right now, and you'll get your first email from me on Monday, every Monday. Subscribe today. And we'd love for you to subscribe and get this free service. And I know Roger gets his
every
Monday.
Yeah, I can't wait for Monday.
He gets a...
I want to see the next one. I'm ready for it.
You never know what you're going to get.
No,
either.
Never.
You got a Mysterious Traveler last Monday, and I think before that...
Well, Monday, this past Monday was my first
was
one.
Was your first one.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Make sure you go to freeradioclassics, with an S on the end, freeradioclassics.com. All right, we're listening to Gunsmoke. William Conrad is U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon. Here's the conclusion now to Kane on Gunsmoke.
Marshal Dillon. Come in, come in.
Thank you.
What can I do for you, Marshal?
I thought you were leaving Dodge on the stage this morning.
Well, I was, Marshal, but I changed my mind. You know how it is.
Sure, Kane, sure. Now, we're glad to have you around. I'm just curious, though. Your staying have anything to do with that gun you bought this morning?
Oh, Chester told you. I thought he would. He's a good teacher, Marshal.
Yeah. But that doesn't answer my question.
Do I have to answer it?
I'm just trying to help you, that's all.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Marshal, but I'm afraid there's nothing you can do.
Look, Kane, you're new in this country. A man like you just can't pick up a six gun and call himself a fighting man. Not and expect to live through it.
I certainly lay no claim to be a fighting man.
Then why did you buy that gun?
There's no law out here against a man having a gun, is there, Marshal?
No. But any man who carries one is expected to use it when the time comes. You'd be a lot safer without one.
Being safe doesn't mean a whole lot to me, Marshal. Not now.
Yeah, I know. Doc told me. What's it all about?
It's a long story. And an old one, I suppose. I'd really rather not talk about it.
I can't force you to. But tell me this. Does it have anything to do with Joel Adams?
Yes, it does, Marshal. I'm gonna kill him.
When?
I don't know. Anytime.
Well, why?
That's the long story I mentioned.
All right, Kane. But if you try to face him, he'll kill you before you got that gun halfway out of your belt. And if you shoot him any other way, you'll hang for it.
You've forgotten something, Marshal.
What?
No matter what I do, I'm going to die soon anyway. A month or two isn't going to make any difference.
You hate Adams that much?
I wouldn't kill a man I didn't hate, would I?
I didn't think you were the sort of man who'd kill anyone.
Only Joel Adams, Marshal.
Then I got to warn him about you.
Well, I understand, Marshal. It's all right. He doesn't know me anyway. Never even saw me before.
But you want to kill him?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll take your gun away from you, but you just find another one. And I can't arrest you unless I catch you trying to bushwhack him.
Well, I'm sorry for the trouble I'm causing you, Marshal.
You know, I've never had to deal with a man like you before, Kane. Maybe I ought to just tie you up and throw you on that stage.
You could. But I'd just come right back.
I guess you would.
I'm sorry this has to happen here in Dodge, Marshal.
Then why don't you leave?
I guess I hate Joel Adams too much.
All right, Kane, I'm through trying to convince you. So long.
Bye, Marshal.
Vestal, Marshal, and I never saw him before last night.
You must have known him somewhere, Adams.
You're trying to make me out a liar, Marshal.
I'm trying to save Kane's life and yours, maybe.
Oh, he ain't gonna shoot me. I'll kill him first time he looks sideways.
Maybe you won't see him.
Oh? Shoot me in the back, eh? Well, in that case...
In that case, what?
Why, nothing, Dylan, nothing. Forget it.
If Kane's shot in the back, you'll be the first man I take in, Adams.
I don't even know him. Why should I shoot him?
I'm only warning you.
Well, just leave me be, Marshal. I can take care of myself.
See that you do, Adams, and only yourself.
Why, sure, Marshal. I mean, I don't much like the idea of some stranger gunning for me. Makes me sort of uneasy.
There must be some reason for it.
Don't start it again, Marshal. There ain't no reason.
I know. You've led a blameless life. You never hurt anyone.
I told you twice.
There are men around here who'd shoot you on sight if they thought they could get by with it. I don't think you were ever any good, Adam, so don't tell me Kane's got no reason. I don't
You're
believe it.
You're pushing me now,
I'm
Marshal.
I'm tired of your talk, that's all. Maybe it's true you don't know him, but he sure knows something about you.
Well, then he'll wish you didn't. That's all I got to say.
Well, just keep out of his way. Give it a little time, and maybe there won't be any killing at all.
Why, sure, sure. All the time in the world.
All right, Adams. I've done all I can.
Just don't worry about me.
I'm not.
Then goodbye, Marshal.
Goodbye.
Quiet around town tonight, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. There's a trail herd due in a couple of days. I suppose business will pick up then.
Mm-hmm. You'd think those cowboys be too tuckered out after a ride like that to have any juice left in them at all, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, they're too poor to cut loose any other time.
Well, that don't stop them down in Texas, Mr. Dillon.
No?
No. It's just like an uncle of mine back in Waco. He was poor, oh, he was mean poor. But he always said the only good money was to have fun with.
Oh, did he have fun?
But no, he was too poor, like I said.
All right, Chester, all right. All I ask is that you don't try to explain it to me.
Well, but there's nothing to explain, Mr. Dillon. It's just that he was the one poorest
Chester.
Man you'd ever...
Marshal, hey, you want to talk to Kane Vestal?
What?
Kane is upstairs in my office.
He been shot?
No, not shot. Beat up.
Well, how is he, Doc?
Well, it's not too bad. A couple of cowboys found him just outside of town. They heard a shot and said two men rode off before they could stop them.
Yeah?
And I guess whoever it was, they didn't have time to finish the job. They just got started working on him.
So Adams made the first move, huh? I'll be back soon, Chester.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon. They hit him on the head with a gun butt and scratched him up some. Outside of that, he's fine.
That's still a Saul, even if they didn't kill him, Doc.
Yeah, I suppose it is. Anyway, they took a shot at him when they heard those riders coming along. Went right through his coat.
Yeah. They probably think he's dead.
So that's where you went, Doc. I might have known.
Didn't even give you a chance to use that gun, did he, Kane?
I didn't have a gun on me, Marshal, but it wasn't he. It was they.
Huh? Did you recognize them?
Well, I don't know many people around here.
You know Joel Adams, or so you told me.
It wasn't Adams.
Could you pick him out if you saw him again?
No, Marshal, I don't believe I could.
Where were you when they grabbed you, Kane?
End of Front Street. I was taking a walk after supper. They rode up behind me, one on each side, lifted me up, and carried me out of town a ways.
You must have got a good look at them, at least when they got off their horses.
It was too dark, Marshal.
Yeah. Doc, how long has he been here?
Oh, about half an hour, Marshal.
Those cowboys who saw you, Kane, they brought you right in here, didn't they?
Yes.
So it was maybe an hour ago when those two men hauled you out of town? It was plenty light enough then.
Was it, Marshal?
You're going to fight it yourself, aren't you?
Yes, Marshal. It's my affair.
It was, Kane, but you've been assaulted and shot at, so it's the law's business now.
I won't prefer any charges, Marshal.
You don't have to. I've seen you, and I know who did it or who hired it done as well as you do.
Please, Marshal. I got to handle this my own way.
There's a law that says you can't murder a man, Kane, and the same law says he can't murder you. Are you so full of hate you can't get that through your head?
I guess that's it, Marshal.
All right, Kane. You do what you have to do. So will I. Hello, Adams. I've been looking for you.
That's late, Dillon. Can't you see me tomorrow?
It's not even midnight. That's early for you.
You see how this marshal's always trying to get me on the prod, boys?
That's right.
These boys of yours play pretty rough themselves, Adams.
Meaning?
Didn't they tell you?
Tell me what?
What they did to Kane Vestal?
They did not kill Kane Vestal, and you can't prove it.
No, Adams, I can't. Kane isn't even dead.
What?
You know, I'm curious, Adams. Why'd you think he might be?
Why, somebody said he got himself hurt.
Joel Adams.
You arranged this, Marshal?
You know I didn't.
Who is he? What does he want?
Hello, Joel Adams. Don't strain yourself so you don't know me.
Who are you?
Kane Vestal. But my name doesn't matter.
What are you haunting me for? I never saw you before in my life.
That's true. You didn't. But we had a friend in common once.
A friend? Who?
Julie Travis.
What about Julie?
You were a riverboat gambler then, Adams, and you had money and fine clothes and a way with women, especially young girls. Julie was only 16 at the time.
Never mind all that.
So she went away with you to be married, you told her.
Oh. I think I guessed the rest. You wanted to marry her, but I got her instead. Is that it?
That's it, Adams. That's exactly it.
Oh, now I thought you really had something on your mind, Vestal. Well, all right, why don't you get out of here and quit bothering people while you can still walk?
Julie killed herself, Adam. She committed suicide.
What?
You didn't know that, did you?
Well, it's got nothing to do with me.
Because you never married her after all. It was just a year after you abandoned her in New Orleans. I think it has a lot to do with you, Joel Adams.
What are your plans, mister? I see you got a gun in your belt.
Gonna kill you.
Or so?
When?
Now. Right now.
All right, Vestal, draw.
Leave the gun where it is, Kane.
One thing I always promised myself, Adams. Someday I'd spit in your face.
Why, you...
Give me the gun, Adams. He's dead.
Well, he was going to kill me. You heard him.
He wanted you dead, Adams, any way he could manage.
I know it. That's what I say.
You're under arrest for murder.
What? It was a gunfight.
Kane never even moved for his gun.
Well, then I'll hang for this. He couldn't have got me any other way.
No, don't suppose he could have.
I remember the river gamblers used to say, no matter how you win, so long as you win. That Kane should have been a gambler.
Maybe he was. Come on, let's go.
Gunsmoke, transcribed under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was especially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Harry Bartell, with Georgia Ellis and Larry Dobkin. Parley Bayer is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc. Clancy Cassell speaking. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Both back this Sunday night. Edgar Bergen and Company and Eve Arden is our Miss Brooks. Yes, it's the Bergen and McCarthy Show with Mortimer Snerd, Podine Puffington, Effie Clinker, Ray Noble's Orchestra, and guest stars. Back Sunday nights at the Star's Address starting this weekend. Returning the same night is our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden as an English teacher ever seeking her special degree in romance. For comedy galore, enjoy Bergen and McCarthy and our Miss Brooks on most of these same stations. Back this Sunday night, presented by CBS Radio.
There's a terrific Western adventure of Gunsmoke from October 3rd, 1952. That's called Kane. And that stars William Conrad as U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon, as heard on CBS. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. This is the WGN Radio Theater. When Lisa Wolf and I come back tonight at 11 p.m., we will have three classic radio shows for you. Bing Crosby in the Philco Radio Time, The Adventures of Ellery Queen and The Whistler. That's tonight, so make sure you're with us here on the WGN Radio Theater at 11 p.m. Right now, Kevin Powell and Violetta Podrumetic are here. What's up, Kevin?
Yes,
and
hi.
Violetta, how are you guys?
See, it's interesting because you say, it was sort of throwing me off, you said, I'll be back tonight.
Yeah, I'll be back
tonight.
Because
it's already Sunday.
Yeah, it is.
But I don't know if we should refer to it as Saturday night or Sunday morning. It feels like Saturday night still to me.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, it does, but technically...
Technically speaking,
it's Sunday morning.
I understand.
But I
completely... Get bogged down with the details.
It's the weirdest thing, too, because I talk to Lisa about this all the time. I say, you know, we're here for 6 hours, but yet we're over 3 days. We're here. We start on Saturday, and we don't get off the air till Monday.
It's a good point.
It's like a time warp continuum thing.
I should add that I love your show.
Oh,
seriously.
Thank you.
You know what I like is the during Halloween.
Yeah.
There's something about the horror episodes that are so much creepier on the radio. I don't
know
what it is.
Because
you paint the picture in your head
is.
The way it would freak you out, I guess.
I think, well, thank you, by the way, for that. And I think it's because...
Carl paid me $20 to say
that,
by the way.
I'm just going to give it to you after the show.
Thanks,
I don't want to mail it. It's not worth it. 26 cents, I think, for what is it? More than that for a stamp
46.
Now, right? 46, that's what I meant. So, and Joey's in there. What's up, Joey?
Miguelmanator.
He can't hear us, but... it's so great to have you guys on the air. I'm going to be listening as I'm driving home. And I want to ask you what you're going to be doing tonight. But just on your point, I think it's because, you know, like when you watch television or you see a movie, there's only so much that can go on that screen, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's only so much that they can put on the screen. But your imagination is boundless, really. I mean, you can see these monsters and all this kind of stuff, and it's scarier.
Yeah, and
I really think it is.
I don't know. Maybe it's the old-timey sound to it that plays a little bit into it.
Could
but be. I was listening, kind of like a creep in my basement in the background, and I'm like, I like
well,
this right
then
now.
I must
it was
be
like,
the king of the creeps because I'm bringing.
Well, it was Halloween time. It was cool. I love the show.
Oh, thanks
good
so
stuff,
much.
Carl.
You know, when you watch like the movie Jaws, you know, they don't really show the shark that
right.
much, and
it's
it builds
the
suspense,
yes.
and then you do see the shark. I think it's like that. So before we go to news, what's on the show?
Violetta, you plan the whole thing. I have no idea, Carl. It's all Violetta here. She's the planner.
Well, we have some Cyber Monday deals we're going to talk about. Obviously, that's coming up.
Oh, great.
We have, what else do we have coming
up? I'm really excited to hear about, I mean, look, the holidays are warm and fuzzy, of course, and we love them all, but we all have... Well, at least I know I do. A little bit of a crazy family at times. So we want to know if you or someone in the family ruined Thanksgiving or ruined the holiday.
Almost ruined. I'm sure you didn't ruin it completely.
What did somebody do? So we're going to kind of run down that a little bit. And we want to get some maybe Thanksgiving horror stories.
Right.
Transition off
like
your
like they were like, this food isn't very good or something like that. And just ruined everybody's Thanksgiving.
We've got a whole list of things. So we'll do that. The Cyber Monday.
We have some my favorite Christmas songs.
Oh yes, I've found this out over the past couple weeks. Violetta loves Christmas music. I think more
I love
than
all
anybody
things
I
Christmas.
Know. So she has like her own little playlist put together.
She's
so.
Like a Christmas tree ornament all rolled
exactly.
into one.
Pretty much,
over there, right?
I love it.
A lot of fun stuff. We'll be on to
excellent.
Five
all right.
So
well,
looking forward to
make
it.
Sure you stay tuned, folks. And we're going to go to the news now, and then you'll have Kevin and Violetta. They'll be here till 5.